To be people smart in ministry is not just something you can simply do. It is a lifelong commitment. And the reason it's a lifelong commitment is just the setup of communication itself requires that we take being people smart very seriously. There are unique characteristics concerning human communication, and we're going to talk about those today. First of all, we got to understand that God created language. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, language, was before even creation. The fact of the matter is when Adam and Eve were created, they were given language. The language was already known by God. God was, in a sense, communication pre-existing the creation of the earth. And then we see in the fulfillment of time, the coming of the Savior, John puts it this way, in the Word, communication, that divine love was made flesh. The Word was, in this case, referring to Christ Jesus. So the Word, language, so to speak, the fullest sense of communication, in that sense of language, it dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, incarnation was communication, everybody. The Word became flesh. Love became embodied. So God has renewed His commitment to language, to us, to communication, by giving us His love, by sending His own Son into the world to die for our sins that we would have life. So when we're talking about being people smart, we have to understand that love truly is in words. Incarnation was God's love for us. Communication, then, can still incarnate love. When we're people smart, we have an opportunity to bring the love of God to someone else and to listen to their hearts. That process is powerful. It's powerfully loving. James 3, verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings, blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not be so. Because that's now the reality. We can incarnate love, but we can also incarnate hate out of that same mouth, those same words. So, why is human communication unique? Well, we communicate now from a post-fall position. Adam and Eve had a perfect world, a garden. It was wonderful. But when they fell into sin and wanted to do their own thing, communication became thwarted. And for every human, what Danish Pete Heim says, even our own words fail us. He says, ideas go in and out of words as air goes in and out of a room with all windows and doors widely open. There's a sense that communication is very difficult. Each of us have that sinful nature, and we communicate from that post-fallen position. But there's even one other thing that sort of messes up communication. We are post-Tower of Babel as well. The diversity of language means a diversity of meaning. In Genesis 1:9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, when Adam and Eve were created, there was one language. They lived in a society, people lived a long time, but there was one language. The flood came, and Noah and his family came out of the ark, and they started communicating with that one language. Even when their lives were shortened, as we read about in the time of the flood, still, that one language, that communication, made it so that humans wanted to elevate themselves and become like God. It's like that fall again. So in God's mercy, God thwarts that language. He creates a diversity of language and meaning. So here we are. We're post-fall, post-Babel. We're called through the power of the gospel to proclaim the gospel to all nations. But the fact of the matter is we have to commit to understand, because there's one more issue. Not only are we post-fall, not only is it post-Babel, but also each of us have our own code of meaning, the diversity of people, fallen people. Robert Bolton says, often we code our messages without even trying. We've been trained from early childhood to express ourselves indirectly on many topics and feelings. All of us have spent a lifetime coding their own messages and decoding the messages of others. So we here we are trying to figure out what each other, what we're all trying to say to each other. So what we must do is make guesses. So to be people smart is to make really good guesses. Guesses and communication go hand in hand. One of the basic reasons for miscommunication is that decoding is always guesswork. We can hear another person's words and we can observe his actions, but we can only infer what his words and actions mean. You can guess about behavior, words, and concepts. Many times you must really guess about emotions. The fact is, you must be committed to talking and listening. That is, to incarnation, communication. We have to be committed to understanding what is being said and what we are saying and how that talking and listening connects together. Our tendency to decode another's message inaccurately leads to needless misunderstanding and understandings on both sides. Since the speaker's thoughts and feelings are private and known only to him, the listener can only guess what they are. And since the listener's interpretation of the speaker's meaning is private and known only to the listener, neither may be aware that a misunderstanding even exists. So here we are faced with the heart of misunderstanding. Fallen nature, languages separated, unique individuals, fallen. So what the tendency is this, hiding in and around the bushes. We see this already in Genesis chapter 3, the story about the fall of humanity, of the fall of Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the gardens. Many times, people will come to you hiding what they really want to talk about. Or a couple will be in a marriage and there's something in their mind. Or there will be a work environment where there's something that's being hid. Somebody may be thinking about something, but they're only giving little clues and little cues that they're even thinking about it. Sometimes when you have a business meeting, if you're bivocational, you'll see that where you'll be talking and some person is hiding what they really think, but what they really think is really necessary. So a people smart leader is one who's always seeking to get people to share their thoughts. So what do we do? Hiding in and around the bushes. Each person conceals much of himself from others. Everyone travels incognito, it is a term in America here to some degree, meaning hidden. There's a hidden aspect. It is often those very things that we sometimes most want to discuss that we hide most carefully. This results in a phenomenon popularly known as beating around the bush. Sounds like Adam and Eve going back to the garden and beating around the bush. The speaker does not even come directly to the point. In fact, he may not even hint at the real point of what he is saying. The speaker's drive to talk about one topic may impel him to converse with you, but his anxiety about that topic may keep him from speaking about another subject altogether. So there's this hiding around and in the bushes. One more thing. Often people do not know what their wanter wants. Bury emotions, or they're blinded by emotions. On the one hand, they are often unaware of their own emotions. So as somebody is talking and making guesses, they're not even totally knowing what they want or what they feel. On the other hand, feelings sometimes surge through a person with such force that reason and other factors become impotent. The person finds himself dangerously out of control and unable to direct his own destiny at that time. Now, it's fascinating. The first condition comes when we are blinded by, when we are blind to our emotions. The second condition is caused when we are blinded by our emotions. So, here we have the post-fall, post-Babel. We're all very unique. And then there's the wanter not knowing what the wanter wants, and there's the emotional factor that often comes in communication. So, having said all this, we can maybe say, you know what? I'm not even going to talk to anybody. This is too much to handle. Well, by the Holy Spirit's leading and committing to love one another, to just find the joy of life, we need to commit to master listening, to minister, to love people. We need to commit to master listening, to be good at this, to make it our pursuit, to know that listening with love is extremely important. The heart commitment to listening is central. And believe me, I want to make one more point here. In the whole listening process, Satan himself, knowing the setup of the fall and sin and language separations, don't worry, we are going to have Satan's attack as well too. There's spiritual warfare present in our communication. So in light of all of that, we need to develop great listening skills, communication skills. To be in this ministry class is very important for your ministry. Bolton says one of the reasons for poor listening and also for good listening is that people can think much faster than we can talk. The average rate of speech for Americans is about 125 words per minute. This rate is slow for the ear and the brain, which can process words about four times that fast. While we listen, we have a lot of spare time for thinking. So the fact of the matter is we have to commit to be master listeners, but we also have to commit to really paying attention. So we're going to be talking about a lot of these advanced listening skills. There's also the emotional conditioning aspect. Emotional profiling is unavoidable. One such conditioning takes place often without design. The child or adult reacts to the words emotionally. The gut level response to the now emotionally laden words interferes with the reception of messages containing that word. Now, what's happening here is as we're listening, we have to understand that certain words create certain responses even in us. And we can hear a word and we can all of a sudden say, oh, I know what this person is going through. And we can stop listening because we know an emotion we feel by a certain word. So we turn off our real commitment to communicate. Fact is, a very critical person who hates, who is manipulative, can listen well, and they can listen in such a way as to shut someone down or to hate someone or to not give someone grace. We in ministry and we in Christ, when we listen and when we learn about human communication, it gives us a platform for love actions of love. James 3, verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So as we think deeply about people smart in ministry, we need to be committed to this. A lifelong commitment to listening, to talking, to guessing in such a way that we can accurately communicate, to bring communication at that incarnation level, at that flesh level, flesh and blood in the here and now. And in ministry, bivocational pastoring, work, whatever we do to serve the Lord, these people smart skills that we're learning, covered with love, can be used by God to change the world.